this all got started actually in the area of science fiction. Before there were robots, there were authors talking about all these fantastic robotic ideas, and in fact, the area of science fiction has been fascinating to me in that respect, where science fiction authors came up with really amazing ideas, and a few years later, or a decade later, or even 50 years later, somebody would come up with something that matched what they were originally thinking.
Remember the robot in The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yes.
Coming out of that flying saucer?
You got it. And this area, this interplay between science fiction and present technology has really been one of the other inspirational things for me. I'd say there's two factors really that got me going in this whole area of robotics and technology. And the first, which is a great story, is the one I told you about, the computer game my dad brought home.
Yeah.
The other is science fiction. When I was a teenager, I really started reading all kinds of fantastic works by authors like Isaac Asimov and Heinlein, and I came across a book named Battlefield Earth by L. Ron Hubbard, who's
sure.
one of the golden age of science fiction writers of the century. I was so taken with this book, and in the introduction, I came across an idea that he was talking about that really stuck with me, so I decided to dig it up so I could read it to you and use it as kind of some examples on all these other
Great.
Kinds of technologies. And in the intro, he says, science fiction does not come after the fact of a scientific discovery or development. It is the herald of possibility. It is the plea that someone should work on the future, yet it is not prophecy. It is the dream that precedes the dawn when the inventor or scientist awakens and goes to his books or his lab and says, I wonder whether I could make that dream come true in the world of real science. So I had just gotten this kick onto autonomous robotics, and I got going on all these great ideas in the areas of science fiction, and I decided right then and there I'm not going to mess around and just head straight into this area of robotics. And I feel very lucky, because when I got to college, unlike a lot of my pals there, I knew exactly what I was after, and I feel, you know, in getting an education, it's always good to have a goal and something that you're actually going to be applying the thing
to. Absolutely. There was an old Twilight Zone episode called I Sing the Body Electric, and I write about it in a different way in this month's After Dark newsletter, which is a newsletter we put out. And it just fascinated me, Robert. It stayed with me all my life because, of course, when the Twilight Zone episodes came out, I was a kid.
Fantastic.
And this one was about a family whose mother had died. And the father was distraught, and the three children, they were distraught. And they didn't know what to do, so they decided to go to the store, which was called I Sing the Body Electric. And this store made robots, all kinds of robots. Whatever you needed, the store would make a robot. If you needed a policeman, it was a robot. And in this case, the father was looking for a nanny for his children. And so he went and picked out this nanny robot and brought her home. And I'll never forget it, because there are two girls and a boy. And the two girls just adored the nanny robot, and they got along with her. The boy hated her, thinking she was a replacement for his mother. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the nuances of the episode, but the bottom line is this robot also was able to care and showed emotion to a point. Yet the children continued to grow, and they got old, and they went on their own lives, and the nanny stayed the same. It was a great, great episode. And when you were coming on, I said, you know, one day robots will do this.
Right. That's fantastic, George. You've hit that button for me. I feel like, you know, the same experience. And in fact, I'd like to jump in at this point and say I really have enjoyed your show in the past, and I like what you guys are doing, getting everybody involved in all these different interesting areas. Your story makes me think of Asimov's works. You know, he in iRobot and many of the other books that he's generated over the years, he was talking about robots exactly as you mentioned, that can care for a child or run an entire mining operation or even read minds, all these incredible, real human-like behaviors and aspects of people. And I, in researching this whole area a few years ago, I came across a great story, which I found fascinating. In 1956, a couple of developers named George Devil and Joseph Engelberger had read iRobot and some of others, Asimov's other works, and they got together over cocktails one night and started dreaming up ideas. And, you know, a lot of people do this and come up with great ideas and they go nowhere, but these two guys decided to actually go for real robots in the real world. And I think this is one of the first cases of that happening, where they ended up putting together an industrial robot to be used in real manufacturing. They put together a company called Unimation, and their first robot was called the Unimate, and actually it went to General Motors, one of their manufacturing plants, and was used for real assembly line work. And this was back in 1961, the Unimate came online. So this is, you know, a great example for me on in my area of work, somebody reading a story and deciding to actually make
doing something about it.
Exactly. And getting that bright idea and that brilliant thought that, that so many of us get every day and jumping on it and heading out and doing it. So this Unimate ran basically instructions step by step and had a 4,000-pound arm that could do all kinds of different things. And it spawned the whole robotic industry for manufacturing.
Have you, Robert, have you seen any robots now that are, I don't want to call them classified or clandestine, but have you seen robots now that we haven't, that we may see in 5 or 10 years from now?
I have been fortunate enough to work in an environment that's very open, so I'd say you could pretty much dig up any information you want about anything that I've worked on, but on the other hand, a lot of the things that we do every day in this industry, in this business, are just not known by everybody, and the extent to which their complexity has been realized is just not known by the public. So I'm always happy to come on to shows like yours and kind of get a chance to talk to people and tell them what we've been doing and tell them just how exciting the things are that we work on.
Would you be shocked if there were robots that could drive cars and we don't know anything about them yet?
Not at all.
Really?
I know a few. It's a relative scale, I have to say, George. Over at Carnegie Mellon University, a group of researchers have been driving a car with a robot down highways using different visual methods and trying out different sensors. And they're definitely not to the Jetson stage, although I'm sure we're headed in that direction.
Sure.
But they are. They actually do have a robot that's measuring the distance of the car in front of it and tracking the lines on the highway. And so they have a human in the car doing diagnostics and making sure it is doing what it's designed to do.